Political chaos in Italy as coalition parties end their bid for power. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Rob Young. Good morning. Italy's populist coalition has failed to form a new government after the country's president rejected their choice for the finance ministry, a man who'd threatened to pull Italy out of the euro currency. There have been calls for the president to be impeached. He's currently holding talks with a former economist at the International Monetary Fund, who's being considered as the head of an interim technocratic administration. The BBC's economics correspondent Andrew Walker says financial markets seem pleased.
We're in a situation in Italy now where we basically don't have the immediate prospect of a government that's capable of doing anything very much, which you might think markets would think would be a bad development. However, it's hardly new in the context of post-war Italian politics. Plus, there is the fact that there was the prospect of an economy minister who has advocated Italy leaving the eurozone. President Mattarella has vetoed that possibility, and so the markets think that is a very welcome turn of events.
There are suggestions there could be another election held pretty soon. So is there a chance that Italy will spark a wider crisis in the eurozone?
It's a possibility that should not be discounted, although do bear in mind that when we had the most intense phase of the eurozone crisis, a benchmark often used for whether a country would need a bailout was 10-year government borrowing costs of 7%. In the case of Italy, that's still a little below 2.5%. Spain also has a major political situation developing of problems surrounding corruption in the governing party, and there is the potential for disruption coming from Madrid as well. But Spain's borrowing costs are even lower. We're not in the situation of a renewed financial crisis yet, although there's certainly the possibility of things getting a good deal worse.
Andrew Walker, let's do the numbers. Developments in Italy have sent the euro higher. Meanwhile, global oil prices are dropping as investors predict major producers will increase their output. The international benchmark Brent was trading above $80 last week. It's now $75. Markets in the US are, of course, closed for the Memorial Day holiday. Now, a state in southern India is threatening to permanently close a controversial copper smelting plant. There have been demonstrations against the facility, which is run by a British firm. The BBC's Dan Johnson reports from Delhi.
People living near the huge Sterlite copper plant believe it's responsible for pollution, increased cancer rates and other health issues. Thousands marched last week and some demonstrators set fire to cars and smashed windows before police opened fire. 13 protesters were shot dead in 2 days of violent confrontation. The plant's currently shut down for maintenance. Now the deputy chief minister says the government there will do all it can to ensure the closure is permanent. The plant produces 400,000 tonnes of copper a year, providing more than a third of India's supply, as well as exporting to China and elsewhere. Increasing demand led Vedanta to apply to double the size of the plant. The firm denies any pollution, and a company executive says production will restart as soon as possible.
Dan Johnson. Now, is wine on your Memorial Day barbecue menu? How about Chilean wine? Well, the European settlers chose the warm, fertile and flat lands of Chile's Central Valley to grow their grapes. But now wine growers are branching out to the drier desert landscape of the north, areas that were previously unheard of for wine production. The BBC's Jane Chambers has been finding out why.
Chile exports $2 billion of wine a year. Wines of Chile has their swanky headquarters in the heart of an upmarket area of Santiago. I'm off to meet their president, Mario Pablo Silva.
Today, the new mentality of Chilean wine industry is going to produce grapes in more difficult places.
Wine growers are moving towards the luxury market, where bottles are sold for $60 to $70. Here's Mario again.
Grapes from small producers that are being rediscovered to produce also a small volume of wine, but in a very good way.
One of those small producers is Camilo Rama. He and his business partner run the vineyard Sierra de Bella Vista. They grow Riesling, which is very unusual for Chile, as it's a wine normally associated with Northern Europe. Camilo explains why this is such an unusual place to grow wine.
Here, the wines grow with more difficulty. They survive rather than thrive. The fruit is different. You have a lot less of it, it's more concentrated and more aromatic. In the hotter regions in the Central Valley, where most of the wine is grown in Chile, the grapes are harvested later and the wine is more alcoholic and has more body.
Back in Santiago, I go to meet one of Chile's leading wine experts, Marcelo Ratamal, who's chief winemaker at De Martino.
You need to connect the place with the glass and the wine. That's a secret for me, the top wine in the world. We want to try now Viejas Tinajas. Ascenso came from Itata Valley, south part of Chile. In terms of taste, the wine is a little bit cloudy, and in aroma, it's more red berries.
Yes, you can feel the real full body and the kind of cloudiness coming through with that one, and the very rustic and the clay urns. Yeah, I can definitely taste this. Delicious. Cheap, and now increasingly high-end too. Chile is diversifying its range of wines for export and hopes to increase sales. In Santiago, Chile, I'm the BBC's Jane Chambers for Marketplace.
And finally, London is introducing a contactless payment scheme for street musicians. They'll now be able to accept non-cash payments with wearable technology and chip and pin. In London, I'm Rob Young with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.